Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Tom Brady here on Mutt and Callahan.
When I was in eighth grade, I was in the school play, and I won the award for best drama student in the school.
What was the play that you won the award for? You must know that.
It was The Wizard of Oz, and I was the Cowardly Lion.
I was king of the palace.
The lion's a pretty big character in that particular show.
Chris Hogan has played quite a bit, hasn't seen the ball coming his way.
Chris Hogan doing Chris Hogan things.
I'm just curious if what stands out to you as to...
Same thing every week, Mike. Each week we pick out a player that doesn't have as many carries or targets or whatever.
Right now.
You're pigeoning now.
Like a pigeon? What is pigeoning?
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Big day today. Big day for us. Bill Belichick coming up at 3 o'clock. He'll break down his experience, great performances of Annie's and Cats. He did both of Annie and Cats. He did both of those productions.
When he was a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is fun because you have a lot in common.
I
you are a theater major.
That's right.
You tried your hat at acting out in California. You were on a soap opera.
Didn't work so well.
You did plays
so well.
On, you know, down at, on Broadway. Yeah. So you were like a renaissance.
And you like the music from all
of
them.
I love musicals. Right. I'm a big musical fan. Right. Love theater. Right. Yeah. So this should be...
should be great. Bill will engage, don't you think?
In
the conversation? Sure.
I don't see why he would not.
We'll get into it. We'll get into it.
You got to have the right temperament to be into like theater and stuff like that. And if you remember, you know, Brady talked about, you know, seeing it three times. Saw it once, I guess, in New York, right? Saw it with his kids, saw it with his wife, and I guess and his sister. Right. Remember that old South Park episode where all the dads of South Park realize that if they take their wives to see a play, you know, they get busy afterwards.
Right.
There's like a guarantee,
yeah.
Right? You know, because you act like you're into it, you're singing the songs. Oh my gosh, this is great.
Something in it.
Yeah. Right. So maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, maybe it was.
I doubt it.
But probably. Three times is one thing. Hamilton going to see it one time, maybe I understand that. But you go three times.
I'd see Phantom of the Opera.
See, if you really like it,
times.
Obviously, six times you'd see Phantom. Yeah.
Financially, he's not really concerned about the ticket.
I don't think he's paying for the ticket.
No, well, maybe he is. But even if he is,
I don't think he is. The weirdest thing is Fourier knows. The bigger you are as a star in sports, the more freebies you get.
Well, I would say you've kind of dabbled in that a little bit yourself,
little bit.
I'm sure. You know,
bit.
Back in your heyday.
A little bit, but not,
maybe not so much anymore.
Not like heavyweights like you.
So people want him to go there, right? People want, Brady went to our show again.
Right.
Did you see all the people tweeting out pictures of him, like the whole, like, trying to, to me, I'm surprised. If I'm him, I'm going in when the lights go out. I have an usher bring me in there. I sit down, and right before intermission, I leave so nobody sees me. And nobody bothers me.
You can't do that.
Why? Though. Of course you can.
Because during intermission, they're going to take pictures of them.
No,
do the
intermission,
same thing.
Right before intermission, like lights about to go on, then you sneak out of there and you go in the hallway or something.
Then you go to the men's room, the trough, and you're sitting
there
going next to some guy.
You just sit there the whole time. And they're like, "Are you done yet?" you just got to be like, "Nope. You got to wait."
So in other words, you wanted to be Larry David. That's what you'd like him to be.
I'm just amazed that you would think with Brady in this town, must just get abused, you know, with people, can I take a picture, you know, trying to take selfies.
Hey, a private entrance, private exit, security around, come this way, Mr. Brady.
Yeah, but he was sitting in this seat way before the musical started.
Yeah.
Right? Is it a rap musical or a musical?
And security was standing on each side of him, right? Leave the man alone. Serious.
But let's face it, it's probably a safer haven for him. If you go to Hamilton, you go to the opera, you go to the symphony, how many sports fans are you actually going to run into? You got a better shot.
Lots of dads, lots of husbands. Are you kidding me?
Looking for
it's filled with husbands, you know, paying their dues.
I think you got a
small investment.
Well, you have a better shot of hiding there than you do in a lot of other venues, right?
In Boston, I don't think he can hide anywhere.
Did you enjoy the weekend, fellas?
Yes. No, not really.
No football for the
No, it was just like a weird day.
Why?
I mean, you sit there and watch football all day long. My kids got the red zone on all day.
Yep.
So it was just a quiet weekend. I don't know. Bye week is sort of, you're always missing a game, aren't you? You sort of sit there and say, maybe it's Monday night. Well, we got a great one here tonight. And there was some good football, but no, it's a little bit strange.
Yeah.
Tough when they don't play.
I was still working, so I don't know,
You're doing that.
You got the night off.
You did that show on Sunday morning?
Sunday morning show. Went great. Went phenomenal.
You back in the shed there?
Yes,
I am. And the guys are in the studio that didn't work.
I'm in the shed and the outhouse at the same time. How about that?
Okay.
Just fine back here.
So everything was so predictable this weekend. I mean, we all sat here this week. What did we say? Tennessee's going in Indianapolis and lose.
Oh,
they got their doors blown off.
Jeez, did they ever. And I don't want to hear about like Mariota being out there before he came out of that game.
24-3 when he left.
He's getting destroyed.
Yeah.
And Adoree Jackson?
Yeah.
He was great, right, against Josh Gordon. How was he against T.Y.? Holy smokes, he was getting torched left and right.
It's the old syndrome. You get up for the New England Patriots, and then when it's over, you sit there and you fall off the cliff.
Well, you can certainly say that about three teams that have beaten them.
Yes.
And how about this? So you talk about Adoree Jackson had an unbelievable game, right, against Josh Gordon. Really just played great. How about Corey Davis? Remember what he did to the Patriots? 7 receptions, 125 yards. You know what he had yesterday?
How many?
2 receptions, 30 yards. 2. So he has almost a career year against the Patriots. And the very next week,
does he
week,
show up?
He has 2 receptions for 30 yards.
Cliff.
I mean, come on now.
They were disinterested from the opening gun in that game. They wanted nothing to do with playing on the road and playing in Indianapolis. It was almost like we talked about this earlier in the year. Jacksonville had won their Super Bowl. Tennessee last week in Nashville won their Super Bowl against the New England Patriots and then kind of threw the towel in.
So did Detroit.
Yep.
Detroit did the same thing. It's just so funny just how... It's human nature. Like, there's an obvious and inevitable letdown, an emotional letdown. You put all your eggs into one basket, and you just focus on this one week, and then you just let it all out, and then you see all the different people who are connected to this team, so everybody around them knows how important it is. And then you are successful, and you're partying. All right, come on, guys. We got to get serious. We're back to 500. We got to go. We got a big game next week. And what do? Lay an unbelievable egg. Like, everything that they were able to do last week, couldn't come close. Mm-hmm. Andrew Luck is now what? He looks like an MVP.
He did.
Like, I mean, it's amazing what they're doing right now.
And, there's a lot of guys on that Tennessee team, and we all gave them all this credit for beating the New England Patriots because they knew. And Deion Lewis afterwards saying, I knew that these guys, you're physical with them, they'll fold. And all of these, Logan Ryan, Deion Lewis, you name it, Malcolm Butler. But they got it was a little eye-opener. It was like, okay, but see, this is why the Patriots have been successful. Because when they win a big game, they don't lay down like you guys did the following week. You know, so it's like, okay, you got up for one game. Good for you guys. But to be good in this league for a long period of time, you cannot not show up the next game. Which you could say, I mean, the Patriots is a big game, but for them, that game might have been bigger.
Yeah, very few of these
going
teams.
Go to Indy and knock them off and be 6-4 and knock them down to 4-6 and
have
be sitting there.
The division.
Yeah, to be basically the lead in the wild card and have a shot at the division. So instead, you put all, like you said, emotionally, you put everything invested into that New England game. But you got to be able to do it each and every week. I mean, that game was, I was watching that. That was embarrassing. They got destroyed.
Yeah, and it's funny. Every team, we talked about it last week, and you look at it, how if you're trying to figure out what this team is about, what they're capable of doing, you take those 3 losses, and every one of them, all 3 of them had something in common. All of them.
They make sense now, don't they?
They all make sense. Last week, when you sit there and you look at it, I did it for you guys. I took all the stats.
I like it
defensively.
When you do it
defensively, you look at it, and it's like each defense had either their best or second best defensive performance of the year. So think about it, right? They're sleeping on it. They're waking up about it. They're thinking about it every single day, and they put that game plan into practice, and they're like, wow. Imagine if they could do that every week.
Okay, so is there more concern or less concern for the Patriots the rest of the way, knowing that the 3 games we're talking about might be outliers here? Matter of fact, if anything, you saw what Jacksonville is all about. And if I'm one of the members of the Jacksonville defense right now, I am really pissed today. Oh, I am pissed today. Because Jalen Ramsey was taking some heat, but he played a hell of a game and got nothing out of it.
Can we just rip on them real quick?
Oh, go ahead. They're destroying something special
right
now.
They are destroying something special. It's pathetic. It really is pathetic. You would think that they had learned from their mistakes from last year's AFC Championship game.
How about Doug Marrone?
When they had the lead last year in the AFC Championship game, and they just kept running it over and over, run it. They just three and out. Gave the Patriots an opportunity to get back in that game, which they did. Fast forward to yesterday. They had 4 consecutive 3-and-outs. 4 in the fourth quarter.
And did the same thing on every play.
The exact same thing. I was almost like, what is the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, thinking that you're going to get a different outcome. Like, it really was, I felt sorry for them because they have no faith in their offense whatsoever. They're so nervous with Blake Bortles that, you know what, I'm just going to keep handing on first down. It's like, it's comical.
They had 18 pass attempts in that game. They just try to keep the... Again, if you are Jalen Ramsey, I don't know if you saw that, but I mean, he was all over Antonio Brown. He couldn't do anything. Brown had that one catch. But every time he broke up a pass or he had 2 interceptions, he would just run straight off the field. No emotion whatsoever, run off the field. Like, it was just business, you know, like, whatever. I'm not going to celebrate, not going to do anything. But after that defensive effort they gave, to sit there and look at his offense and say, I can't believe it's 9-0 right now. Like, God, we can't move the football. We can't do anything. They actually went up 16-0, you know, and it's got to be so frustrating for them. That is a team that, you're right, they talk about this window, this great roster that's being put together, and you see it year in, year out. You keep looking at these teams like Seattle or a team right now like Jacksonville. Say, God, they're going to go on a run. They don't have a quarterback to do it, and they brought the guy back. It's just, it's painful. The fact that they couldn't go out there last year, 2 years ago, when Bortles, last year of his deal, that they couldn't go out there and draft one of these quarterbacks high up in the draft, kind of like what Kansas City did when they got Alex Smith and said, yeah, you know what, still not good enough. We go get Mahomes, and now we go off. This team is still relying on Blake Bortles with a very good defense that is ripping the life out of them.
Yeah, if they just had just maybe 25% confidence in Blake Bortles, they just didn't want to do it. So they went go through the whole game, and the fourth quarter, four straight three and outs. And imagine, like, and talk about a team that needs the extra time. So if you run it, then you pass it incomplete, you're not chewing up any clock whatsoever. You're not doing anything. So they just allowed them the second chances into that game. They deserve everything they're getting.
It's amazing. You look at all of these teams, they fall off. And the Boston Sports Info guy threw this out yesterday, the win-loss percentages of Seattle versus New England after New England knocked off Seattle, or Atlanta now, their record versus New England after New England beat Atlanta in the Super Bowl, and even the Philadelphia Eagles now, who beat the Patriots, they are falling apart.
Yeah.
The worst defeat by a defending champion in the history of the game now.
I bet if you exclude the Patriots, go through, because Bill did this, I think it was my first year here, I can't remember what it was. He on the board as you walk into the building, like it's the only thing you see, a long corridor, and there was this big I don't know what the hell they call it, but it listed the Super Bowl champions, and then what their record was the very next year, and if they made the playoffs or not, and it included the Patriots of 2002 season, because in 2001. You know, they win the Super Bowl. They don't go to even go to the playoffs the very next year.
Right.
So what he did, he included that 2003 Super Bowl team, right? And as you walked in, there was a big question mark. Are you going to follow suit? It was like five teams in a row. All of them won the Super Bowl the next year. They didn't even make the playoffs. So you look at this team, you think about how difficult it is for them, not just every year, but every week, because every team is sitting there going, okay, we got to judge ourselves against this team. Like, if we can beat them, we know we got something, right? We can build on. So, okay, all eyes on me, all hands on deck. Some teams they realize right away they're too much. And other teams, they hang around. But then some teams like Detroit and Jacksonville and Tennessee, they have the right game plan, the right coach, and right everything.
And emotion.
And it works.
And emotion.
And all have been on the road, too.
But I'll go back to your first comment. Like, so what does it all mean?
What does it mean?
Just outliers?
Yeah,
no, I think that this is a far from perfect New England Patriot team. We all know that.
Yep.
And this is a team that is extremely reliant on guys, and maybe the injuries kind of came together. They desperately, in my mind, this offense, you desperately need Rob Gronkowski back. And maybe more importantly, Sony Michel.
Yeah, I agree. Like, Sony Michel
on top of his game, healthy, running the ball 20, 22, 23 times a game. They desperately need a running game. And you can crap all over a running game's importance in the NFL today when you look at some of these offensive numbers. But for this Patriots team, you need to be able to run the football.
Well, it takes the pressure off of Brady. We're talking about what has happened to Tom Brady. And you're right. Sony Michel, who sucks and blows.
He blows. That
they were scoring
awful.
38, 38, 43, 31 when Sony Michel was out there and healthy. Why? Not because Sony Michel is a great running back. It's because it takes all the pressure off of Brady. Play action. You can sell it to that defense if you've got somebody who can actually reel off six
or
seven yards.
I also say that. The other thing that all those losses had in common, I'm trying to think, each one of them, you were missing a key piece offensively. The first two losses, Detroit and Jacksonville,
no Edelman.
Tennessee, no Gronk. No Sony Michel.
Right.
You were – so think about – it has to be – first of all, there's so many things that have to go your way, right, if you're going to beat the Patriots, right? First, you have to have the right game plan. the right coach to implement it, and then the right team, the right personnel to execute it.
Well,
that's one part of it.
You did have Sonny Michel last week, though, right? You just didn't have him.
Well, I don't know if you
speed.
Had him or not. Yeah, I know. Really? I don't know. Okay. I don't know what the deal was going into that game.
Right. But he didn't have Gronk, okay? So right. you had a 70% Sonny Michel, whatever. Point is, everything has to go your way, right? As far as, you know, listen, you have an advantage. Guys, this guy isn't playing. This guy's not playing. It makes it easier on your defense. Then, okay, you have to have everything else that goes with it. And every team had that. Every single team had that. So what does it mean? I still think that they have flaws, and I still think they're going to go 11-5. But they're still, say the playoffs start, I'd give them just as good of a chance to beat any team.
Yeah, see, I think you're wrong here. If they go 11-5, I do not believe they're going to beat any team out there. They have to win at least five of these six games. They've got to come in with four losses or even three losses. And the two games, obviously, Minnesota, which certainly does not look that difficult if you watched any of the Bears Vikings
game. At home,
game.
Too. That's an at home game.
Whoa. So, and
at home for the Patriots.
At home for the Patriots. And then the Pittsburgh game. Because the rest of those games, do you really believe that after what happened in Nashville last week, they're going to have a letdown against the Jets or against Buffalo or against Miami?
No, but I think
if they go 11-5, I think they have trouble.
Yeah,
they're going to have to play that first week. That's a problem.
I think that Sonny Michel is could be the health of him the rest of this way could be one of the keys for this team,
along with Gronk
for this offense.
Agree.
Yeah, but even you know, no Gronk, you need Gronk. But you know, when you look at this right now, would you agree that there's like three elite offenses in this game? You know, it's obviously New Orleans, Kansas City, and the Rams.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all averaging like 34, 35 points a game. Then there's
New Orleans is up to 38 a game.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But then there's the next level. There's like a 4-point difference between, like, say, Pittsburgh, who's like fourth. And even them with James Conner, Kareem Hunt, Todd Gurley, Alvin Kamara, and Ingram.
Right.
I mean, all of these great offenses have a great running back that you have to stop, which allows their quarterbacks to then go off as well.
Right.
But so I think when you're with the Patriots, I don't think it's a coincidence that when Sonny Michel went nuts for three games in a row, they were putting up 38 points a game, and they were leaving points out there on the board. The other good game that they did have actually was the game that Patterson ran for like 60 yards on like 10 carries.
Which you're not going to probably get again.
No.
That's a rarity that happens.
So this team desperately needs Sonny Michel running the football.
No, but this team, you know, we did this all these, you know, bye week, you know, what's the most important? What's the key to the bye week going forward? You know, six games left, blah, blah, blah. The most important thing is health. That is it. Number one, this team healthy offensively, all their guys healthy, they can put points on anyone in the league, hands down. I believe it. Now, if you're going against Kansas City, can you match them? You know, is who's going to break serve? Or can you make them break serve? I think that would end up being the most important thing against a team like Kansas City. Make them break serve. Make them punt once. Make them punt twice. That's it. And then there's you get a little bit of a cushion there. But defenses are not winning the day.
They're not.
It's offense.
Yeah. No. They're not a factor. The key is like tonight's game. We talk about defenses in tonight's game. One stop in the fourth quarter might be the difference in the game. So your defense, and maybe Donald makes that stop. So you make one stop in the fourth quarter, and that's
one
enough.
One turnover.
That's enough to win the game. Because you're right, it's all about offense, and I totally agree about the Sonny Michel. He's got to be healthy. Even if he's not reeling off 100-plus yards, he at least is taking that pressure off Tom Brady. It's easy, and we saw it with Nashville last week. They didn't have to respect the run. So all they had to do is respect Tom Brady and then shut down your first couple of options, and then Tom Brady is screwed.
So imagine this. So Rex Burkhead is healthy, and he's back. Sonny Michel is healthy, he's back. James White healthy, Gronk's healthy, Hogan
different team.
You have
Hogan doing Hogan things.
Yeah, he's back to doing his thing. Gordon doing what you wanted him to do when he's not carrying the load or not just you're not forcing it to him. Now you have an explosive offense.
Yes.
Now you are breaking plays.
That's
now
the formula
you are
right there.
Stressing out that defense because think about all the different personnel groupings that you have. I mean, this is where Josh McDaniels is going to sit there and go, wow, I can really do some damage. Put all these guys out there, put Rex Burkhead out there. I mean, it's obviously can you give me 6 weeks? 6 weeks healthy? So Burkhead has what? One more game he's going to miss, right? Because it's 3 weeks after your first start.
Mm-hmm. He's a Minnesota. So Minnesota, he'll play in a Minnesota game.
So Minnesota would be the game he would be active. That's 5 weeks. You get a bye week. That's another week of rest. I mean, if you're
they
if
can't
you're,
go 11-5 though. You're wrong about that.
I think they can.
They can't. No, they can go 11-5. But if they go 11-5, they have problems. That means that means over the next 6 weeks, they're not playing well enough. They're beating the crap teams, and the two teams, Minnesota and Pittsburgh, that are pretty good, they can't beat. And how do you expect them now to play in a wild card weekend and win a playoff game, and then suddenly have to go on the road?
Well, Pittsburgh still has. I mean, the team I feel like we should be worrying about is the Texans. The Texans winning their seventh
and
straight.
And an easy schedule the rest of the way.
Easier schedule than the Patriots. Yeah. Pittsburgh still has to play the Saints.
All right, so if it's Houston, you got to go to Houston. You worried about it?
More
so than if it was in New England, but you worried about the Houston Texans?
Not because we've got some history there.
No,
we've got. But do you Lou, do you believe the team can go 11-5? That means they're going to lose two of the next six games and then have success in the postseason. You're putting yourself in a bad position. I still think they can run the table.
Well, you
got
to define success in the postseason for this team. What is that? Is that
getting
to
the AFC Championship?
Getting to the AFC Championship?
At least,
yes, I think
maybe winning.
Then I think they can get to the AFC Championship if they go 11.
Well, they
got to
win. They got
to
win.
Can they win it? No, because they have to go to Kansas City and they'll lose that game. So, you know, it depends on what your definition of success is.
Well, their definition
most organizations
is at least getting to the Super Bowl.
Getting to the AFC title game is considered a success. I would say that if they have to go to Houston or they host a wild card team and then they got to go to, say, Houston, I could still see them in the AFC title
Christian,
game.
Christian, you define it then.
What? Success?
You define it. You said that you think they're going 11-5. If they go 11-5 and you still think they'll be okay at 11-5, what's okay at 11-5?
Well, where are they going? AFC Championship.
Yeah. And they win it?
No, I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl. So, okay. I mean, what is that? What do they lose, 43-40? I mean, listen, if they don't go to – the only way you can really quantify success in the postseason is if you get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but you won't feel good about
them. Well, for them, it's actually got to win the Super Bowl.
But who will feel good about them if they go 11-5, guys, going into the postseason? Nobody will.
It depends on what it looks like.
No, because there's two more losses in the next six games.
And they'll go by the first round because guess who they'll play in the first round? The Baltimore Ravens.
Maybe.
I would just say, like, somebody called that game. So the postseason is weird because – even losses, like, tend to be galvanizing for teams. If you go, wow, we didn't even play good. We didn't play well. We came really close. We made some boneheaded mistakes. We played that team again. We're going to beat them. We play that team like Kansas City. Kansas City's probably, when they left, said, you know, we play this team again. We're going to beat them. That's what Kansas City is saying about the Patriots. If they go to Pittsburgh and they lose at Pittsburgh, if Minnesota comes here and they lose to Minnesota, don't worry about it. I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl. But just because they go 11-5 doesn't mean they haven't figured it out,
okay,
and they're not dangerous.
All right, so we all believe they're going to win the two games against the Jets. You believe they win the other Miami game, even
that
though it's down there.
Though.
Okay, that one's
that
sneaky.
Was always an
okay.
issue.
All right,
I don't know what
issue.
It is about Miami.
And Buffalo? Buffalo, they win that game?
No.
Oh, God, yeah.
They win that game.
They're not losing that game.
Okay, so they win those four. So it comes down to Minnesota, and it comes down to Pittsburgh. And if you look at it, if you want to have a chance in the postseason, I think they can beat Minnesota because, as you say, Christian, they're playing here. They're much better at home. So it comes down to that Pittsburgh game. Can they beat Pittsburgh? They've got a formula that has worked in the past with beating that the Pittsburgh Steelers team and the way they play defense, and they still play a lot of the same stuff they've done over the years. They're more obviously explosive offensively. They win that game, guys. They not only have a chance of not playing that first week, they still have a chance at the number one seed.
No, it is all the goals
changes
are still there.
Everything.
Everything's still right there. For
so if you go 13-3, you do have a shot of getting to the Super
Kansas
Bowl
City
because you're playing
loss.
The way you've played in the past successfully. You play at home in the postseason, you win, and you go to the Super Bowl.
Kansas City has one loss.
Right.
You beat them.
They got to lose
so
tonight.
You
got to be rooting for the Rams tonight.
Yeah, you got to have the Rams beat them.
Right. And then the Chargers beat them.
Is that their only? I thought they have Seattle also.
They do have in Seattle.
And they have so they
and
have
Seattle still in the mix.
They do have a
Seattle.
Tough schedule.
That's going to be a must game for Seattle.
Didn't get much help this weekend though. Usually in a bye week, everything kind of every team you need to lose loses.
Well, Jacksonville screwed this up.
Well, I'm just saying
that
should
have been a
wins,
loss for Pittsburgh.
Houston
right?
wins. I guess San Diego losing helps.
Yeah,
I guess
yeah.
you know because if they sat there with two losses and then they beat Kansas City, now they're both with two losses. They're ahead of you.
Right.
So I guess San Diego losing, but usually in a bye week is usually when you get the Shaughnessy thing. You know the article.
Tomato can.
Right.
Piece.
Even when the Patriots don't play, everything falls into place. Right.
Sure.
Great players go down. Great players get hurt. Every team that needs to lose loses. But that didn't happen. Pittsburgh pulled that game out.
Yeah. Which they shouldn't have, and they're lucky they did because they played like crap.
Pathetic.
They played like crap.
Houston,
and,
pulled that game out.
Yeah. So you're right. But I just don't believe that 11-5, if he is right at 11-5, if they finish 11-5, I don't think anybody is going to feel confident about that.
12-4. You think they're going to get number one seed?
No, but you still have it. You still have a shot at the number two seed at that.
All right.
More likely to the number three. You're probably right because it'll come down to that Pittsburgh. It'll come down to whether you win or lose that Pittsburgh game. There's your tiebreaker, and they have a tie in the column too, right? So they have that as well to play with. All right, we're going to get to the phone calls coming up next. 617-779-7937. That is our phone number right here at OMF. Bill Belichick will join us at 3 o'clock. I heard it was a lively conference call here. Maybe we'll play a little bit of that coming up. Pretty lively, and we'll get to that coming up next.
Now back to Ordway, Marloney, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Patriots money. Bill Belichick will join us at 3 o'clock. I must tell you, I got a kick out of it, so I got up early yesterday watching all the football shows and whatever, and then I hear this whole Adam Schefter tweet that the Cleveland Browns are about to sit down and interview Condoleezza Rice, the former Secretary of State, as their future coach. And I'm sitting there just laughing my ass off.
It's fake Adam Schefter, right?
Fake. It has to be. And then you go and you see the blue check mark, and then you hear him come on the air. And then the first thing I did is I went to Twitter. Because,
How annoyed were you?
So what I wanted to see is
You want the Schefter sound? Let's listen to Schefter.
Go ahead.
Well, this is very interesting because this past week, the Browns general manager, John Dorsey, came out and said he would consider anybody for the job, including women. And as it turns out, there is one woman that the Browns have on their wish list to go speak to, and that would be the former Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, who is a lifelong Browns fan. Now, the Browns are interested in getting her ideas and her input into the organization.
I'm sorry. It's laughable, and I was expecting that people on Twitter would start throwing that out there, and a few did, and I made a joke about it, but what silence by the Richard Deitches of the world and the Rich Eisens of the world and others. They matter of fact, the only thing I read from Deitch is he tweeted out ESPN is standing by its story. So what's your opinion of it? You're a media critic. What's your initial reaction to
it? It can't be negative because then people will get mad at you.
Very good.
So what you need to do is to be like you know, Trey Wingo and tweet out there. The truth is that she knows more about football than 99% of people dismissing her on Twitter.
Please.
So then the pandering and the Twitter applause, like the need for Twitter applause is ruining our country. It might be an exaggeration, but the need for people to just go there and have everybody say, you're absolutely right, I hope she gets it. Meanwhile, she comes out, you know, on Facebook and says, you know, experience does matter. It's an honor to be considered, but, you know, they'll find somebody.
Oh, she was frank and honest about it.
She was honest about it, but nobody else would be honest about it.
No.
Because they were afraid of the backlash.
Right.
When you could just leave women out of the equation and just say, she has no experience in football.
So let me throw this.
Hold on.
The person that could be hired to be a head coach has no experience in football. Is that a good idea? Right. Well, are we talking about a man or a woman? Doesn't matter. Let's just keep it as, the person has no experience in football. Is it a good idea? And the people were just like, yeah, I think it's a great idea. I think she'd be outstanding at it. What?
If it's so she's a good football watcher, right?
She was part of the
college football playoff committee, right? Because they wanted someone with high character that wouldn't, and she went to Stanford,
right.
And so who would be impartial, right?
She's a lawyer. She could
trust
do some
them.
Stuff.
You could trust them. Yeah. Listen, I want you to watch. I don't want you to use your bias, okay, and make sure you leave that out of it. But if you're going to, like, look at a woman who has some history in the league dealing in a good old boys club, you look to Amy Trask.
Yeah.
You look to Amy Trask, who dealt with Al Davis, who is so widely respected.
But I don't think Amy could coach
football
either.
Knowledge. Okay, as a GM,
right.
As an evaluator, as a running the company, like a CEO, listen, I'm going to hire the coach, and I'm going to get out of the way. You want someone like that to kind of manage other people and personalities? Good, fine. I'll let you do that.
So I don't think I would have laughed if we heard that. And this is all Jimmy Haslam, the owner. We'll get to him in a second. This is him playing games and pandering. But if we had heard that Condoleezza Rice was being thought of for some front office position within the Cleveland
commissioner of the league,
right? I would say okay. At least let's consider and see what you've got there. But everybody's playing tapes today, and rightfully so, of Francesa, you know, getting all worked up about it, and Dale played it earlier today. But here's the problem with it. If Adam Schefter had come out yesterday morning with the blue check mark and said that the New York Jets are considering interviewing Mike Francesa for the head coaching job of the New York Jets, we would have all killed him on Twitter, laughed at it, and said he's not qualified, and this is a complete joke. And yet, he may be more qualified than Condoleezza Rice, but we would have absolutely destroyed
him. I don't know if he is.
I don't either.
But he's not qualified either.
No, he isn't. And people, if we said that, would have killed it. Why? Because you can attack the male. You can sit there and say he's not qualified. People were fearful of doing it just because of her gender. She had to come out.
I don't think
she had to come out and show logic.
He wasn't. Have you heard Francesa?
Yeah,
sorry about this. You got Francesa back?
So let me get this straight. The Browns want to interview Condoleezza Rice for their head coaching job. Somebody explain to me on the Browns her qualifications to be the head coach of the Cleveland. So you're telling me that the Browns feel in their coaching search, one of the requirements is not any experience in football to be the head football coach. She has never, ever had a position with any football operation of any kind in her life. She has never coached on any level for a day. And she's going to be the head coach of an NFL team? So what you're saying is that it doesn't take any ability or any experience to be the head coach of a football team. No wonder you lose.
It is so dumb. When I heard this, I thought it was a joke. It's such a stupid idea.
But I think it's
and
real.
You should not be embarrassed or ashamed to say it's dumb.
No, there's a lot of shame to say it's dumb.
It's dumb. It is so stupid.
You're not
allowed
to. You can't.
I'm going to do it.
Okay.
You guys got my back?
Yeah.
Wolfpack? Yeah. All together? Hands in. Ready?
I could use a week vacation. Why not?
It is so dumb.
And
I know she, Condoleezza Rice, knows it's dumb.
She's
so stupid.
She's the first one that came out and basically said to everybody, I'm not qualified for this.
She's 64 years old. She has no history.
What's the age have to do with? The age has nothing to do with it.
Okay, do you realize?
Are you attacking the
yes,
ages?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am. Good. Do you realize how tough it is? What a grind it is? We hear about these coaches sleeping at the stadium. Four nights out of the week.
So what do you think
it's
Bill
not
should retire?
Easy.
You think Belichick should retire?
No,
why don't you ask him at 3 o'clock? Hey, Bill. You're 66. You should retire.
The problem is that you're gonna jump into a head coaching role.
It's stupid,
right? But I will say this: I heard Nikovich talking about this, which I thought this was stupid.
He made no sense.
None. Like it was like his reason for not having her or not wanting her, thinking that she wouldn't make it, is because one, it would be awkward because she's a woman. Two, like a woman can't yell at you. Like a woman that won't be able to, like a guy, only a guy can yell at
he's
you.
He's married, isn't he? Nikovich is married, isn't he?
Women
can yell now.
That's not the reason. Stupid.
No, you go, see, and you could look at it and say, well, there's a lot of bad coaches in the NFL, head coaches, right? And there are. But all those bad coaches were very good defensive coordinators or very good offensive coordinators who maybe started off like in D2 when they were like 22 and been in football now for like 20 years.
Right.
And again, good situational coaches, offense, defense, but when it comes to head coach and running an organization and being a decision maker, game management, personnel, maybe it's just not for them. Hugh Jackson comes to mind, right? When he was in Cincy, defensive coordinator, everyone's like, wow, what a great defense he's got going on here. Rex Ryan. So you can go up and down all you want. But all these guys who've had a lot of experience in football for 20 years, in schemes and you name it, failed as a head coach because it's a different quality. It's a different whatever you want to say. You got to now lead an organization. So I don't care if it's a woman or not and what she's accomplished. Is she smart? Absolutely. But to have no experience in coaching in the league and to think you should be a head coach or people said that she could do it is ridiculous.
Yeah. Well,
it's got nothing to do with she's a woman.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that it doesn't take any ability.
Like am I qualified to coach this team?
No.
I had no experience in football whatsoever. It'd be stupid.
No.
But you can say it's stupid because I'm a guy.
Right.
You're afraid to say it. Because, and even she came out and said, this is ridiculous. I have no experience.
Right. And no, she said it, but you brought up Hugh Jackson, and Hugh Jackson became the laughing point of this yesterday because he failed miserably in Cleveland. But you're right. He was terrific as a coordinator. Mike Zimmer was terrific as a coordinator in Cincinnati. They had worked through the system for
all
how
of these
many
failed
years?
Failed coaches are great
exactly.
coordinators.
Right, compared to her and her qualifications. The whole thing was just asinine.
But here's the thing.
The Ninkovich, the other Ninkovich argument he had, because one, I agree with you when he said, a woman has to go and yell because it's a violent sport.
Well, I gotta
and
yell
you gotta
at
tell
you
guys
you're
to
not
go
gonna
there
listen to a woman.
And hurt somebody else.
Get your ass back there, you fucking goofball!
But the other one was, he said that they'd have to go into the locker room after the game, and I'm sitting there going, well, what does Auriemma do down in UConn? What do these guys do when they go into a woman's locker room? You can work around stuff
the
like
WNBA
that.
The WNBA where they have men as coaches.
It's easy with Condoleezza Rice. Forget about the gender. Does she have any qualifications? Does she know anything about X's and O's? She sits there and go rah rah siskumbao in the stands. Does she have any qualifications to actually do the job? And the answer is zero.
And that's fine.
None.
It's okay. And I would say, as far as a woman being a head coach, yes, that will happen, and 100%, the men on that team will follow her. But she will have to have the same qualities as a man. And when I mean qualities, I mean they got to be credible. They got to be smart. You got to prove to them that you know what you're doing. Because I've had so many coaches, and as soon as I sat down, Joe Gibbs, I sat down front row. I was like, he doesn't have a freaking clue what he's talking about. This game is so past him. He has no clue. Maybe in the 80s.
You've seen it with Gruden now. You've seen it with Gruden.
He doesn't know. Yeah. I knew it right away. So you can't fake me out. You can't fool me. I know it. So when I use Amy Trask as an example, I know her. I've met her. I've talked to her. She's so bright when it comes to football-related issues, when it comes to building teams and personalities and managing them. You could easily see a personality like Amy Trask being a head coach. If she had the knowledge, guys would follow her in a second.
I don't think she could be a head coach because she's never done that.
No. I said if she was trained. Like that. Imagine her personality, right, with the knowledge to go along with it.
Well, what about her age? You're not mentioning her age.
But she'd have to go through the ranks.
She's not that young anymore.
The point is,
I agree that there will be a woman head coach in sports. Okay? Football, you know, we'll see, but don't you have to see one that's first, say like a secondary coach?
Yeah, I think you're going to see it in basketball before you see it in any other sport.
Yeah, Hammond's another one, right?
Yeah.
So, but don't you first have to be like a positional coach and then work your way up
and be part
of an organization and experience it and watch a head coach like under Bill Belichick and see how he does it and work your way up as a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator. And you know what? Someday it probably happened. Someday in the future. I don't know. And I'm sure when it does, it'll be somebody that's qualified.
Yeah, but this was stupid.
And I will say this.
This is ridiculous. Now, this comes down to experience, not gender.
Yeah, this was stupid.
The conversation is so dumb.
It's dumb.
It is so stupid.
But here's what made it credible. The fact that Adam Schefter, and we all did it, is the check mark there, that he did it. Now, here's why I think Adam Schefter did it. Adam Schefter is not getting this from some middle-level, lower-level person within the Cleveland Browns. I think he's getting it right at the top. I think this is Jimmy Haslam playing a little game where he's doing the pandering. He's throwing it out there. That's what's happening. That's why Josh McDaniels or any other really good, credible coach out there would be crazy to take the Cleveland Brown head coaching job. Even though you've said this, Christian, they're loaded with talent. They have talent in a lot of different positions. They
and
could be very, very
equity.
Good. They have an owner who has no freaking clue. And you can talk about how important it is to have coaching, how important it is to have somebody who's doing the personnel and the hiring or whatever.
I'm going to kill him at halftime.
The most important position may be that owner and whether that owner gets his fingers involved in it. This owner is out of his mind. He's the one that gave it to Adam Schefter.
Yeah.
And Schefter went with it because it came from the owner.
And I also say, you don't have to play the game to coach the game. I would say that it's easier in basketball for women, easier in basketball because they have their own pro league, their college game is strong, the youth league
is strong.
The
game is similar, too.
It's a similar game. Same exact same. I'd say softball.
It's a little different. It's below the rim as opposed to above the
soccer
rim.
Soccer is the same. Soccer is basically the same. Okay, but football, like, the women leagues suck. Okay, they get the girls, some of these women, like, running around in, like, lingerie and, like, just totally degrading them. Like,
that's not a legitimate league.
You told me it was more violent and physical than the NFL.
It is.
They give them no protection whatsoever, and they have no clothes on, okay? But you don't have to play it. Like Lou said, if you, like, say you have a dad. Like, if your dad was a coach and you were hanging around just like a boy would, and you come up through the ranks and you're in those meetings and you're a ball boy slash girl, and next thing you know, you're just a runner. Then you're an assistant.
Studying
then
film.
Then they give you hey, listen, you know, coach the tight ends, right? And next thing you know, you're coaching the offensive line. And the next thing you know, you're coaching the defense. And now you know both sides of the ball. Now you go back to the, yes, you can easily do it. That's the same way other guys do it. And don't give me, yeah, I played, you got to at least play college football. No, no. High school, no, it doesn't matter. Learn the game how you want. It doesn't matter. It's not just because you did it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be better than somebody else.
It was unbelievable. And again, it was Schefter. I think it was the owner. And could you imagine John Dorsey when he finally hears this? He turns on ESPN in the morning or whatever, NFL
what?
Network.
We're going to interview who?
What?
I was drunk.
And he's calling up Schefter and he's going, Schefter, what are you doing here? What is going on? And I got it from your guy.
I'm amazed.
Got it from your guy. And Dorsey has done a good job. He's finally found a quarterback, it looks like.
Great job.
He's got a pass rusher. They've done a good job drafting. They're putting some personnel on the field. They're getting rid of some of the riffraff, and yet he's got to deal with this crazy owner.
This is such a defining moment.
That's why they're never going to be good.
This is such a defining moment.
Condoleezza Rice, yeah. Josh McDaniels.
Talk about a huge moment in their franchise. You have, if you miss on this one, you miss your window and you start all over again. Yeah. If I'm telling you, like I don't know who they're going to get. I don't know if they're going to go young and aggressive and Sean McVay-ish. Are they going to go old and established?
No, you're right, because you got a quarterback now these next 2 years. He's either going to take it to another level or you're going to kill him.
Yeah. I mean, it's so important.
You got a lot of talent. And, I mean, you got so much talent that in 3 or 4 years from now, you know, maybe not be able to bring them all back.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. you can't miss on this wave. You got to find the right guy. Well, the right person, I should say.
Be very careful. Sorry. Be very careful.
You got to find the right person.
Be careful. Hold on. Can we erase this on when it goes up on demand?
No, just don't.
Lou did not say that.
It's ridiculous.
Don't post it.
But it's ridiculous how many people in the media that have to go on Twitter and say that this is a great idea, that she would be great at it.
Unbelievable.
They don't really believe it. They're just doing it so they can see the notifications and how great they
are. That's all it is.
That bugs me more than anything.
Oh, my God. It's so annoying.
I'm pandering to women. And again, if it was Francesa, if that was brought up that it was Francesa being interviewed for the Jets job, the same ones that were avoiding it yesterday or pandering would be killing it, and rightfully so.
So I mean, John Lynch
is GM of the San Francisco 49ers, has had no experience whatsoever. He was an NFL commentator for Fox, played on the football team, played a long career, probably going to be a Hall of Famer. We'll see. They gave him a job, gave him a nice job. Condoleezza Rice could do the exact same thing. I'm going to hire a really good scout. I'm going to manage these personalities. I'm going to trust them to make the right decisions. I'm going to get out of their way. I mean, that to me is a job perfectly suited for her.
Except she's a fan. Even the personnel stuff.
So what? Doesn't matter.
I don't know what her knowledge is. I don't know what her...
Well, here's the other thing. Was she a good Secretary of State?
Yeah,
I don't even know.
Yes. Well,
was
depends.
She good?
Well, it depends.
I don't know.
It depends.
Was she successful at it?
I would say Reamer would probably say she was a disaster.
Oh, there we go.
And Jerry would say she was terrific
at
it. Okay? It depends what side you're on. But... No, could she run an overall business and as a lawyer handle some of the stuff in the
There's
NFL
a lot
office?
Of
yes,
very smart
but,
people.
But knowing personnel and even more so knowing X's and O's and how to operate a football team, you know, there's something to actually knowing what a head coach does, what his hour to hour, minute to minute responsibilities are. She would have no idea. And by the way, she was the first one to point it out to everybody. I have no idea.
I guarantee you, I bet you they still didn't believe
it. They didn't.
Like, no.
Oh,
I know you're saying that.
You're
but
a
you
woman.
Don't mean
you could do it. I am women. I am. Okay, we got to take a break. All right, we'll take a break. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
What would be how you would sell to the Cleveland Browns community that you just hired a good head coach when the woman has never spent 5 minutes in her life inside a football operation? What you are doing is completely belittling the profession. That would be like saying that if Trump stood up and said, you know what, my next Secretary of State is Nick Saban. I like Nick. I like his leadership. I'm sending him to Russia tomorrow. He's now my Secretary of State. I think that would go over.
It's a good point.
Sometimes it's just so stupid you can't even make it up.
Yeah. He's right, though.
He is right. It's stupid. It's stupid.
And I feel like we send Saban to Russia tomorrow.
I feel like we just took the bait.
The fact that it came from
one. Listen, we're all a bunch of suckers.
Wait a minute. If it came from Ken Lear, like he had the Gronk rumor, remember that, or breaking news?
He was right.
He was right. That would be one thing.
Somewhat.
It came from Adam Schefter, and Schefter got it from somebody who was extremely credible. But that's why I think he got it right
Gronk
from the top.
Gone.
Right.
I don't even mind Schefter for throwing it out there.
No, he's got to.
I don't. What I mind is like the people that felt the need to have to support it.
Well, it
felt like it was a good idea.
This makes sense.
Be liked
this
on
makes
Twitter.
Sense.
I mean, just God, think for yourself. Like, don't be afraid of stuff.
Please
okay.
Like me on Twitter. Don't hate me on Twitter.
That's the annoying part of this whole story. Ask me.
And also, I like what he said. I usually hate what he says because he just usually makes things up. But this is in his wheelhouse. Francesa, I mean. Like, it does. It belittles the profession. It makes it seem like it's just so easy and anyone can do it.
You know, he thinks he can do it.
Just throw in. Oh, of course he does.
He believes
I'm good friends with Bill Parcells.
He has said this a few times, that there have been teams in New York that have offered to hire him for, like, on-field positions. Yeah.
What?
He has said that.
What? Please explain to me what that is.
We can find the audio. We can find the audio if you want.
I believe you. I'll take your word for it.
Let me go to Jeff. Jeff's in Rhode Island here on EEI. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Jeff.
So I have some interesting insights on this whole Condoleezza Rice thing. So back in about 2007, when Condoleezza was Secretary of State, I happened to be working out in a neighborhood gym in a private neighborhood. And as I pull up to the gym, I see Secret Service cars there. And I kind of knew that Condoleezza Rice's cousin lived in the neighborhood. This is down in Atlanta, suburb of Atlanta. Mm. So I went to the gym to work out. And there it is, me and Condoleezza Rice. Secret Service guy working out.
Nice.
So doing some cardio?
What's that?
Doing some cardio?
Heavy lifting.
Doing some heavy cardio. She was on the elliptical. I was on the exercise bike.
Okay. All right. Awesome.
Let's get to the
story.
Got the
background. Okay. What was the discussion?
Here's the point. So we got to talking. We're both Cleveland Browns fans. I'm from Cleveland. She explained to me how she became a Browns fan. And I said, Condoleezza, what's your dream job? And this is right from her mouth. My dream job, I want to be commissioner of the NFL.
She said this publicly.
She said this. Oh, yeah.
She said it numerous times.
Okay, well, she's not going to get that job.
She should.
Okay, but I'd be fine with that. I don't care.
Right.
That's good. You know what? You know what?
Did she say anything about coaching the Browns?
No. Did not say anything about coaching the Browns. And based on my conversation with her, you got it right. She is a great fan.
I'm not going to get into hypotheticals.
How about she changes sides? Instead of being the commissioner, be the commissioner of the NFL, like the NFLPA rep. Be DeMaurice Smith. Be that.
That's a difficult decision.
That okay? You want to talk about some power and negotiating skills? Because it's all negotiating skills.
That's what you.
That's what it is, and who you know, and how to you know, just that.
Who you know and who you owe. That's exactly
that is perfect for her.
But you've got an owner in Cleveland who knows that she wanted to be the commissioner of the NFL, and said there's no difference between the commissioner of the NFL and coach on the sidelines.
None whatsoever.
So could you imagine breaking down, you know how everybody has the edge and they have the check marks? Could you imagine the check marks? Bill Belichick, Condoleezza Rice. Who are you going for? Where's the check mark go this
it's
week?
Just Nick Saban quote. Yeah, Nick Saban. Go ahead. Secretary of Defense.
Here's Evan in New Hampshire. Hi, Evan. Hello, Evan.
Okay.
I don't know what he's doing.
Get rid of Evan.
He's already started his holiday
Evan.
Party here.
That's
Evan!
Oh, okay, that's
like
fine.
The Evan that was on Morning Drive.
Same reaction.
Given about as much.
But, I've heard a lot of people use the reasoning of like, you know, what she's accomplished and how smart she is, and if she can do this and she can coach a team. And it's you go to like say okay, the President of the United States. I don't want to use Trump because I know the reaction.
Don't do that.
How about Obama?
Okay,
President can run a country.
Yeah.
Why can't he run the Browns?
Right.
How about the Bulls? He likes the Bulls.
Think you can do that? You think? Because I mean, if you can run a country, you can be a head coach, right?
That's actually
the reason that a lot of people are using. Like, she's accomplished a lot. She's very smart. No questions about it. So therefore, she can just coach a team in the NFL.
No, there's a difference between.
Ridiculous.
But there's a difference between running the team, the marketing, the operation of it. George Bush owned and ran a Major League Baseball team. Okay, I'm not sure putting a uniform on him and putting him in the dugout would have been playing to his skill set, would it?
Right.
Okay. He can't do that.
Right.
She can't do this. It's ridiculous.
Even she knows it.
Right. And she's the first one that came out. And finally, it was okay. Then all of the others, the Twitter lovers, just fell in line. Okay.
No. I saw a lot of, don't give up. Don't give up.
Go, girl.
You can do it.
I still think she'd be a good candidate, though, even though she doesn't want to.
Even though she knows she can't do it, I think you guys aren't giving her enough credit.
There are too many people out there that are trying to make things work that aren't necessarily going to work or are fair. We had this whole thing with Jess Mendoza, if you remember. And she played softball, so therefore they thought they could put her on as the number one analyst out of the gate on Major League Baseball. Not softball, baseball. If they had taken a male who had, I don't know, did they have softball in the Olympics? I don't even know. But let's say in college competition. Yeah. If they had taken a softball player, male, and put him in the booth and made him the number one analyst, we would have all beaten the crap out of him. We would have said, this is foolish and idiotic.
It's a different sport.
Right. We would have said it's foolish.
Right.
But when you do it with a female, it's
perfect fit. Oh my God. Makes all the sense in the world. And she'd be great at it. And it's just, it's all right. When she goes and she works her ass off at it and she does everything, but I just, still, even with her, she's okay. She's not, I don't think she's very good at it. But you can't say that she's not very good at it because now you're attacking women. That's not it. You're just attacking
the cookie zone.
You're just going after, like, okay. I mean, how many male analysts do you guys think that, who's the tight end? Jason Witten. You think Jason Witten's good at his job?
He's horrible.
Well, it's fine. That's okay to say.
He's horrible.
So why do you say that? Because he's a man?
Yeah, no, I think Booger might have a future if they can actually bring him in the booth as opposed to...
I don't think Jason Witten's very good.
Jason Witten is terrible.
And that's okay to say.
And Tessitore, to me, is very plastic, fake, phony, everything. And
right.
I don't like him either. But you're right. If it were a female, and I actually think Doris Burks is good at what she does.
She's
certainly
very good
in the analyst role. We say that. And nobody sits there and says, well, you're doing it just because she's a female. No, I'm doing it because I think she actually is pretty good.
Yeah.
She knows the sport. She does.
Quarterback is the most important position on the field.
Oh, that's right. Wow. You know, I saw somebody tweeting out today. Take this call if you want. Because
here's Susan in South
Park. I got a squirrel moment.
All right.
Hi. Listen, I wouldn't even make Condoleezza Rice defensive coordinator. She sat with the memo about Osama bin Laden on her national security desk for a year. Couldn't protect the country. I don't think she could protect a quarterback.
Okay, that's a good point.
Because those two things go together.
So you don't think it's a good idea, political beliefs aside?
No, it's ridiculous. But she's an incompetent to me. She couldn't protect the country.
Ooh. See what I mean? That would be another problem she would have. Is that
other women hating on her?
No.
Catfight?
No, the political divide.
Tomasi, Reimers of the world.
Political divide, that's
right.
All.
They would.
Got nothing to do with that. Yeah. Now it turns into you don't like it just because of the politics.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
I'm sending them to Russia tomorrow.
It's no win situation.
Escape into Russia.
It was, the whole thing was just goofy.
Yeah, it was.
And it took over the shows, the pregame shows.
Oh, it took over our pregame show.
It was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. We got in-depth in
it. So what was your take when you first heard it?
I thought it was
stupid.
You
were live on the air right at the time.
I thought it was dumb. I still think it's dumb. I don't even think they're doing her any favors by throwing her name out there so people actually have to kind of just not make fun of her, but be like, what are we really?
Because she's a fan.
She knows she's not qualified. There's so many other things that she can do for the league. And if I'm DeMaurice Smith, if I'm, I don't know who the head of the NFLPA is right now for the players, the active players, I would call her up and say, listen, we have a big moment coming up. Our CBA is coming up. We want you on our side. Forget about joining sides with the NFL and Roger Goodell. No, we want you on our side.
Yeah, but now what you're doing is you're attaching her to a job in which she actually has a skill set that will translate to that job. There's no translation of her skill set other than the fact that she's a lifelong Cleveland Brown fan, and I don't know why she spent her entire life.
Do you think she's qualified?
She's not. Okay. It doesn't convert. Her skill set doesn't convert. It's like us saying Donnie Wahlberg could be the next coach of the Boston Celtics if this fails with Brad
Stevens.
So
she was...
He's a great fan.
Well, he thinks she could probably do it.
No, yeah.
Can't do it.
Save the day.
Can't do it.
She was part of the initial college football playoff committee, right?
Yes.
So they changed the plans. Right. It's going to, four-team playoff, whatever, and they're going to vote for it. And I remember when her name came out, I was like, like, she just, what is she on the, why is she on
but
there?
You know why the, well, she was on the committee? Because they wanted to, they were fearful of Washington. They wanted to make sure.
No, they were, they wanted to make sure people looked at that committee as being upstanding, right. No bias. Everyone's going to just, you know, vote for who they thought was most deserving. So they put high character people up there. And she's a fan. So you're telling me she watched every single game and she was able to tell who the best team was? You know what? I gave her the benefit of the doubt. I let it go. Because I felt like just football people should be on that list.
Christian, she couldn't.
People who coach, people who, like, athletic directors who know how it works, who had boots on the ground, who were in the trenches, who had been through the old system. Like, those are the people who should be voting on it.
If you've ever heard her talk in the past, because she has talked about being a Cleveland Brown fan, and again, it's very short little sound bites, but I'm not sure she could even coach an eighth grade team.
Yeah, she could.
Well, she could do that.
Yeah,
like, my kid's flag football team.
Yeah, I'm not sure she could.
See, now you're just being rude.
What?
Now you're just hating on women.
You're such a sexist.
Now you're just hating on women.
Yeah, see, now I get. Well, now so, I know we get their typical, bad reputation because it's all you.
Typical EEI stuff.
Yeah, it's typical Ordway stuff.
Listen to management.
Just make sure we tag him with the sexist stuff.
I can take a week vacation.
I'll take all the other
stuff. Well, the booze may be the best part of it.
I can take a week vacation. I like week vacation. If you're going to give me a week vacation, I take it in the summer. I take it in December. So,
I just had a bad time.
You took your time when?
I didn't take anything. I was forced out.
What are you talking about? This forced vacation. Yeah. It's vacation. Yeah. It's all vacation.
No.
All right, 617-779-7937. Bill Belichick is coming up right here on OMF.